Good morning, guys. We back.
Nice to be back.
Oh my gosh, it feels kind of weird, but also it feels like refreshing to be back and recording again. I feel like there's so many things happened in between of the mini break that we took. Chana, how's everything?
Been a bit hectic, actually. Been busy, you know.
Yeah.
It's late part of the year. Things are getting, you know, we have to close stuff at work. And, you know, my other podcast, I actually started another podcast, which I'll talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
And so things been busy. I'm glad that we are able to do this again.
I know.
So how are you? You're back in Manila?
Yeah, I'm back. Before I go on a tangent here, I just want to say how cool it is to actually work with such an intuitive, I don't know, timeline with a podcast, how we just went with this episode feels right for this week, let's do it. Although we do have a library of, you know, the things that we wanna talk about on the podcast, but we always get a feel into what is right the week and just go with that. So that's super cool. Yeah, so I'm back in the Philippines.
Yeah, Meg, your voice is a bit low.
Oh, wait. Am I clear now?
Yes, that's good.
Okay. All right, wait. I'm gonna try to maybe remove my earphones so it records better.
No, it's good.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So there. Back to pH humidity and. I'm actually so surprised to be so excited to be back for some reason. It's such a different vibe here. It's kind of also very, I don't know how the word to describe in California, in LA, very dense
right.
energy, but also very nice and naturey and so many stories. I don't know where to start, but I want to say that it was such an adventure. And I felt coming back here was sort of a graduation of some sort. So, yeah. Tell me about...
I felt the reason that we took so long from the last episode is I really don't... We didn't want it to bother you. I knew that you were just enjoying, you know, California. And then,
yeah.
So I don't want to be pestering you about a podcast episode. So I just sort of... But at the same time, I was kind of feeling uncertain that whether we are actually going to continue this podcast. I had that feeling.
Yeah.
Right? Same because
here.
We were kind of drifting a little bit apart because we were not talking and then we were busy with other rooms and other stuff. So, but I think, you know, things, if meant to happen, it will happen, right? So.
For sure. Yeah, I feel we went on to the order of things, the order of things in life. And I don't know, it's still refreshing to be back. And at the same time, come into more inner work, I guess, within ourselves and emerge back to, you know, the ethers of the pod, which is, I don't know, I feel like we are such... different people, if you will. I don't know, a lot of things have surfaced and have been reevaluated. I feel like the trip, for me, I feel like the trip was an integration time for the lessons that I've learned for the past couple months. But turns out, hello, it's not an integration time. It's more of a second dark night of the soul. Wow. So there. But thanks, Chana. Super appreciate the concern and thought of, you know, just taking it slow with recording on the past couple months that passed.
Yeah, and purpose of our podcast is not just to record a podcast, right? Because it's all about what we feel, and I think if we feel that we need to put out something, that's sort of the drive.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm so curious. I mean, I want to ask you so many things, and I want to leave some questions to my podcast because you're going to come on my podcast as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't want to ask all the questions.
I know. I know.
So how was California? Like, I mean, of course, I seen you, like, your posts with the coffees and mm-hmm. visiting coffee shops and all that. Mm-hmm. And then you attended a concert there. And so how was it like traveling there from Manila to there? And how was the contrast, and what is it?
Oh, yeah. I left the Philippines, I think, in the middle of people not very much into traveling comfortably yet. Like, they're not as open to travel yet, not unless, you know, unless there's, like, a specific purpose of visiting their family there after being on lockdown for a while. So, technically, I feel like I've been with OFWs for this trip, but the plane was full, which was very surprising to me. The line to check in was full, and landing there, it felt so weird. Like, I don't know if I could get another good description to say, but it felt very much different. Like, I would say that I've come back. I've been there during Christmas for just 2 weeks, and then this is the first time that I'm actually taking a trip there that's 5 months long, which I never did before. Like, I felt like I remember saying this on your podcast when I guested on your podcast. Like, it was such an intuitive knowing. I feel like the thought never left me of going there and doing a longer stint, if you will. I felt like in this period of my life, I needed to take that. Like, I had a set of questions in my head that I wanted to get, like, you know, more clarity in, even. And just recently, parting ways with my first ever day job, I felt like I needed to recalibrate and reevaluate, you know, what are the things that I want to move forward with? Like, what are some of the new set of goals and desires and all the personal projects that was in the back burner? And I know, like, this is this podcast, like, I would always say, like, it's another, you know, dream come true and dream in the making, because I have, like, you know, have this thought of having, you know, constant conversations, and I never rushed the process of, you know, actually starting it. I just felt like if it'll come, like, it'll present itself like a download. It'll just be there, and it'll be kind of superflow. And I believe, like, that's how it went for this podcast. So the same way that I felt like an intuitive push or like a nudge to be in California and explore LA in such a way that's not, you know, in a vacation mood-ish and in a rush. So, yeah, I felt like I was still in the depths of knowing myself again, like, for this period. And especially with, you know, all the different personal projects that I have and things going on within Silence and what we have been planning on, you know, the vision that's starting to take shape for Almost a Music Podcast. And I know that's changing in so many different ways, so many different levels. And I love just how it kind of really, like, we have our own flavor to it, and that's what makes it even more, you know, very the term, like, very Almost a Music Podcast. So yeah. How has it been like for you, Chana, with everything? Tell me more.
Yeah. from the last episode, which we recorded about the main, right? That was our last
right.
episode.
Right.
And yeah, things, as I said, things have been bit busy. I was actually putting, I don't know, I kind of got busy in a sense that I got a bit tired of doing things. So I was like putting things up for tomorrow, and then tomorrow became tomorrow, and things were just getting piled up. And I was in that sort of a rut for some time. And actually, October 30th, I celebrated my 43rd birthday, right? So on two days before that, I suddenly got this urge. I don't know, I felt this this bolt of energy suddenly, and it was like a whole motivation. And then these 2 days before my birthday, I was like getting so many things done at work, and I was like confronting the things that I wanted to, I was just putting aside and all this. And then I actually had a great birthday weekend, because it was a long weekend, and I think that was like the first weekend after some time that I didn't have anything to worry about on Monday or something. Like, we have this thing, like, I sometimes go into the weekend and I still have something, thinking about something at work or something I have to complete. But that weekend, I didn't have anything other than that. I was just, I'm just going to celebrate my birthday and just going to relax. And it was a great feeling when you have that, right? You don't have to worry about, at least for momentarily, if you can have that sort of feeling that you don't have to care about anything, it's like, it's a great feeling.
Oh, yeah. I feel like adult life is, you know, takes a toll on you sometimes. And just how I feel like getting in a funk is such a, like, it takes on a different level, especially when you get older, because you have like a bunch of responsibilities on your plate, and it's not gonna go away by just, you know, letting it sit. But I feel like it's such an important thing to check in with yourself and how you're feeling, and what kind of support do I need right now. That's what, like, for me, that's what I try and ask myself whenever I get into a funk. And also, Chana, I feel like it's in the cosmos too. There's so many things happening up there. And I heard, I don't know much about this, but I've been hearing like there are a lot of solar flashes and upgrades and global things that are happening in the collective that I feel like are translating, especially to those who feel a lot, like, not just to empaths, but those who are really tapped into, I guess, themselves, and yeah, who kind of get the collective energy themselves, and like what they say, as above, so below. So crazy, crazy times that we're in. Like, I don't know, I feel like there's such a rush too, like what you said with your birthday and the energy of, you know, just sitting with, I'm kind of not feeling so good to like push forward, like the forward energy is so different. And like with what you said with birthdays, I feel like it's a check in as well, like of, you know, do you ever feel that you need to sort of, you know, do an inventory of what's working out, like how is this aspect of my life going and where is it going, but also I'm good with now. I mean, I'm good with creating in the eternal now. It's so cheesy, but it kind of makes sense. So do you ever get that feeling of a reevaluation for specifically, like, I want to ask for this birthday?
Yeah, I think previously what I was doing, I was every birthday, every year I would do like this, I would join this cycle event, and I would like compare my finish time every year with the previous year, and I see, oh, I still have the same fitness level. So that means that's a good thing. Like, if I can do finish that event on the same time, it was more of a physical thing, and I wasn't really looking at the other aspects of life. But now, I think in this birthday, I was actually looking at, am I actually happy? And am I happy where I am? And I think for me, I think the happiness wasn't really about, you know, how wealthy I am and how much money I have and I don't have, like, those type of things. But I think I felt that for me, I feel that I'm wealthy or happy based on amount of time I can spend not doing anything. Am I able to afford not doing anything? Can I take a weekend off without doing anything? I think that's the real happiness. That's the real wealth in a sense, because you have things under control, or you deal with the financials or work or other stuff that you have to do, but you're dealing with them in such a good way that you actually have free time for yourself, that you can do it. Maybe you can meditate, maybe you can walk. I do a lot of walking, right? So maybe that's how I felt that. And I felt good because I actually had time for myself and I had time for my family. And, you know, with this sort of a pandemic and all the chaos, and I was still able to, in a way, I was able to shield my family from that. And then I was actually able to still have high hopes. So I wasn't really dragged down based on what's happening around me. Maybe because I actually stopped giving much attention to that. That's probably one of it. But I also, I think, actually this past year, I think we most of us learn how to deal with this sort of negativity, right?
For sure. I want to touch on so many things that with what you said, like so many have resonated a lot, even if we have such a different, you know, age range. I feel like the thing with birthdays, like, for example, with what you said, how the definition of, you know, living a life or a fulfilling life at that, like, changes a lot as you grow much older. Like, it's more on how happy, not even happiness, like, it's about, like, for me, it's how do I navigate when I'm given both the happiness and the sadness, and that neutrality is such a practice in life that I would always think how it's always defined by my productivity, let's say, and how packed is my schedule today, like how is my iCalendar packed with a bunch of things that I have to do. But I felt like coming close to birthdays, or even just a conscious decision of I have to sit this down and write the intentions that I have for the next, let's say, 5 weeks. And it's such an eye-opening and triggering, at the same time, like, very scary experience in a way, and how you really get to mature and get to know yourself better through time. And it's such a practice of trust too, because with what you said, of the questions that you would ask yourself, like, how much trust do you have within yourself to actually uncover answers for this? Because that's another thing, you know, one thing is asking and the second one is being with yourself. And it's such a, I don't know, wow, I mean, a crazy practice. And I remember when I celebrated, that I never celebrated my birthday this year. I don't know, I just felt like I wasn't worthy of celebrating myself that time. And I'm coming to my half birthday. That's why I included that on the poster. My half birthday is on November 6th, which actually our recording date for the Chana Jana Jana podcast. Whoa, so what a date, right? I mean, what a I never planned this this episode guest date. Like, wow, I was surprised that it landed on that date. So that's cool. So many other things to, you know, deep dive on. I feel like with what you said too of the power of walking. Oh my gosh. Tell me about it. I love walking and just having a time. Like, I feel like it's such a neutral ground for me. I feel like whatever worry or even like intense feelings of happiness or doubt gets to be washed over or like neutralized whenever I would take walks. I feel like it gets unloaded on my walks, and I am guilty of recording myself sometimes on walks because I'm like, if I don't write it on my notes, I would record myself and what the things that maybe that I've thought of during walking and before I walked, or yeah, I feel like it's such a underrated, powerful thing to do. And it's sort of like a walking meditation for me. Do you ever feel that way?
Yeah, actually, walking is, I think for me, it's like, of course, when I start walking, I would have something, I would be thinking about something. I think that that's always going to happen. Sometimes I would walk with carrying a little bit of worry with me as well. Like, I would be thinking about something I was working on that I have to deal with, or some person I have to deal with, that thing I would walk around with that. But eventually what will happen is that thought would you know, subside, and then I would focus on where I am and what I'm seeing. You know, I think there is this quote that I don't know who said that. I think it was one of those Buddhist masters said that. Somebody asked him, why do you meditate? And then he said that so I could see the flowers on the road. Like, because I think we sometimes do things, or we walk or we go somewhere, and we actually don't notice what we are like looking at, what we see. We just pass through, and it's like the autopilot thing that we face a lot of time. We are in autopilot, so we are not mindful of what we are seeing, what we are experiencing, right? So I think I get that sort of, I think my mindfulness really comes in when I'm walking. One thing is that I have to walk so that I don't, you know, I don't fall down, or I won't tremble somewhere, or and I have to be safe in Manila, especially, right? If you're walking on road, you might end up hit by a bicycle or something, because it's so chaotic. But you have to be that mindful, and I think that walking really helped to build that mindfulness. And I really get that sometimes I get solutions for my problems while I'm walking. I would think about, I even do this thing. I actually write emails in my mind, like, this is what I'm going to do when I go back. Like, I would do that while walking. And then when I go back, I would just type it in. I have already think about what I'm going to say. So that's sort of a thing that happens to me when I'm walking.
For sure. And I feel like it's such a tool. Walking is such a tool to sort of be able to prep for difficult conversations, also for good conversations. I feel like the most profound and really, you know, cheesy but like life-changing thoughts that would come into my head, or like for any projects that I've been, you know, thinking about, it always came through walking, because it's such a portal for, you know, introspection. And with what you said of experiencing life more through walking, and just actually stopping and looking at a flower, like, it's such a thing that I guess we have forgotten of witnessing life as it is, with witnessing nature, and I don't know, like smelling freshly cut grass and just walking aimlessly to in a path. And that really proves to me how we get to really access life here. Like, life is here, life is unfolding in an ever eternal now, and life is here. I mean, we don't have to wait for a thing again to make it like a sort of a barometer of, okay, I'm gonna live my life more once I get this, once I have this, when I'm this, when I have this, when I finally achieve this, either both at work, family, or wherever in your relationships. I feel like it's a checkup. And it, whenever, you know, I would see mentors or the people that I would look up to, when they would have, you know, walks in the morning or afternoon, evening walks, and they would just say, like, life is here now. I mean, and it's such a beautiful, simple, like, it's so simple, and yet we tend to forget. And I mean, I would witness, like, this girl, I think it's Jazz the Moon Mother on Instagram, Jazz of Moon, of the Moon. She was like saying, like, heaven is here now. I mean, we can access it through our conversations, our, you know, with enjoying our cup of coffee in the morning, or writing maybe a short story, or exchanging playlists with a friend. And, you know, just this, like, this, having this conversation, because we have, you know, we have been shown before that, you know, it's something that has to be achieved. Like, it's something that has to have a label even, or it has to be something that's tangible. But when I, as I grow much older and I guess much wiser, it really, the definition really changes through time. And I could have not been more thankful with the clarity, I guess, that time brought. Like, it's such an equalizer for me. Like, whenever I would think, oh, like, next year I'm gonna turn this X old, like, I feel old, but at the same time, you know, there's so much gratitude and grace in getting older. I feel like it, the experiences you have will be, you know, what you would carry for the next set of adventure and next set of experiences you have. So, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so we call this almost a music podcast, but I also feel that this is also almost a coffee podcast, because we love coffee. So how was that experience in, you know, in LA with the coffee culture and everything, Meg?
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna try and half my answer, so I have so I have like something half other layer to say on when I guest on Saturday on your podcast. But I would say that it's quite similar to Manila when it comes to the vibe of the actual place. But the vibe of the people is another thing. The vibe of, you know, the baristas is another thing. I feel like let me start with saying the quality of the coffee here is very much comparable to the Philippines, even better, I would say. Like, there are a bunch of really good roasters there, but also the quality of roasters and coffee and the way they prepare it here is so hugely good. And I would say that it's so funny, because in LA, they would always have like a bunch of milk substitutes, like pistachio milk, hemp milk, almond milk, oat milk, or like a hybrid of both. So I was like, oh my god, the possibilities like are endless. And it's so nice to just experiment drinking different kinds. But of course, I'm also on the quest of the best flat white, so I found a couple, and of course it came with, you know, it's just nice to explore like different cities also with the type of cafes that they have. Like, it's such a vibe for a certain maybe city or town. Like, it's so different when I'm in downtown. It's so different when I'm in a mini suburb in, you know, the east side, or whenever I'm in, like, oh, my favorite, in Silver Lake and Echo Park. Like, it's such a, I would say, like, Jana, it's a stretch of different chains of cafes and food places to try, and each have a certain flavor to it. So coffee culture is great here. I am shamelessly plugging my playlist of overheard East Coast. So I would Shazam like different songs of what I would hear on the coffee shop, then I would place it there. So I have so many more things to say about, you know, the coffee cafe, coffee shop culture in LA, but I would say, like, the it's such an experience.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of coffee shops here also in Manila, but the thing with me is that I discover a lot of them through, like, you know, those delivery apps. Like, I just search for coffee and I found, like, there's so many coffee shops, and I visited some of them. But the thing is, the vibe right now is because there's not much people, right? So it's all in this lockdown health protocols and sort of those things. So it actually, like, kind of killed the real coffee culture here.
Yes,
because people are just going to grab it, and, you know, and then it's not the same when you get something delivered, and when you have that coffee at home, it's not the same feeling as you actually going there and, you know, sitting down and also observing other people and interacting with the baristas and listening to the music in the background. But so it's that experience, I really miss having that. Although I think it will slowly, I think it's coming back. I'm looking forward to that, you know, sort of normalizing at least on the coffee front.
Yes, I love how we're like the coffee front. Yes, so much. I agree on that so much. I feel like taking, you know, having conversations on cafe culture, I feel like it's such a culture and it's such an experience of all the elements of it all, like, from, you know, the baristas you would talk with, the coffee itself, the conversations that you might have maybe with, you know, your seatmate or to the table nearby. And it took away, like, this delivery thing and the unique times that we are in now really took away the whole sort of 60% of that coffee experience, because you don't get to, you know, enjoy that cup in a physical space. And I know how it could be such a challenging thing for, you know, people who are working from home to actually have and enjoy that experience, because they work on the same, like, you know, if you are, let's say, taking your coffee in your working place, and you have that idea of, when I'm taking this coffee, this specific type of coffee, like, I'm actually, you know, on a weekend mode. And it, like, the place takes such a different light into the experience, because you are experiencing that on your working space. But what if you want to unwind? I mean, how do you curate that experience? So that's one of the things too that I've been, you know, thinking about for We Found a Place, because one of the intentions would always come back to, you know, curating that experience yourself and coming back home to yourself. But of course, like, we have these places that we would associate with, you know, the things that, you know, that might be brewing in our heads. And it's such a different headspace for us to do that at home. And just being in a cafe really, I don't know, amplifies most things. I would say that's my experience for me. That's why it's such a, you know, weird thing to actually experience coffee by delivery and brew your own coffee even. So yeah, weird times. And I feel like it'll like these roasters and cafes would even be really more intentional with the things that they create, not just in the taste, in the flavor, but also with the experience. Because how do you translate your brand? How do you translate your experience via delivery? Is it through, having curated letters for whoever orders or connecting more on social media? So it's such a change, like big change of having to experience this all digitally too. Like I'm sure you have lots to say with, being in tech and navigating this virtual space even. Like we could go off a tangent here, but yeah, just putting it out there.
Yeah, I think definitely there will be metaverse coffee shops opening soon, right? So that you can order from home and then you can go to metaverse and then you can visit the shop and have your coffee, right? So I think that's probably coming soon. But there were a couple of these brands that coffee brands here in Manila that I actually ordered the coffee not because of the coffee itself, but the way they were like delivering it. Like there's this one brand that their coffee, they deliver it in bottles, like just glass bottles, and then they have this amazing artwork. Like it's all about like space. So it's like they have one coffee like antimatter, dark matter, and all these sort of a space references, and they have related art on the bottle. So I just ordered because I really love the bottle, and it was like, I think it was like somewhere near QZ, and I ordered it still to Makati because it was, I really love the bottles.
Oh my
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, I mean, I ordered a couple of coffee because of the way they are actually delivering it, and it looks really attractive. And Meg, so I think on during this couple of months, I know that you've been active in Clubhouse, but you also kind of you were not really present that much in Clubhouse except for your other rooms, right? So but what I did in Clubhouse is I just went head on Clubhouse. I was really active in Clubhouse, especially with my like Sri Lankan community. I went back there and I started lot of sharing a lot of these sort of these woo-woo ideas that we have. They would consider it woo-woo, but I think I convinced several people to think life in a different way. Not to get caught on the traditional, sort of this. I think we probably have the same problem in the Philippines also. Like we are just conditioned just to follow. This is how we do it in this country. This is how we do it in Sri Lanka, and this is the culture. But I think we just need to get out of it, right? We need to explore other things. We have to think about what we are passionate about. So I've been advocating that, and I've been also advocating that people should not judge other people, because I think we cannot really judge another person because we have very limited information about them, right? We don't know how they feel, we don't know what they've been through. So I would not want to judge anybody just because what I see. So that's what I've been advocating, and I feel that a lot of people were resonating with that, and hopefully a few people would start thinking differently, and that would definitely help. I feel it will help them to grow.
Oh yeah, before I take my response to that, I just want to say a quick hug to Ivy, Dane, and Sunnis. Thank you guys so much for joining us live this morning. We will have this up recorded for the next couple of days. And yeah, super grateful that you guys are here to catch it live. Yay! Okay. Yeah, I'm so curious, Jana, with how the culture is like for, these Sri Lankans. I know you are one. Maybe you can talk about that more in another episode, but like I'm curious what kind of culture they are swimming in. Like, are they very similar to Pinoy's? Are they very much tapped into their spirituality, or is the work and life culture very similar? And I love how you just went off. I mean, you just killed it out there, and congrats on the 1K followers on Clubhouse. I mean, wow. And yeah, I mean, it's so crazy. I don't know if it's just, you know, the circle or the people that we kept on, you know, crossing paths with on Clubhouse, of, you know, just having really raw and great, difficult, potent and profound conversations here. Like, I feel like Clubhouse is such a tool to connect with, you know, both like-minded and different-minded individuals to just actually have our enriching experience on all things. Like, it could be, you know, serious things, it could be woo-woo things, it could be, you know, different aspects. And that really opened up, you know, my eyes to, there are so many, like, there are infinite possibilities of what could happen and what we could, you know, be collaborating with and what we could, you know, what could come out of this. But also at the same time, I don't want to put so much pressure on this, like, I should have an output for this. Like, this should be like this. This should be a course. This should be a whatever. You know, yeah, kind of just swimming in that. And I'm so curious how you have been growing also your audience with your Sri Lankan Clubhouse thing. Tell me more about that. And how much, maybe, like, another question is, how much has your podcast of China has changed? Or was there even a change for the past couple months?
I think definitely the podcast, I think the audience probably grown. A lot more people were exposed to that, especially from the Clubhouse audience. And I've been active in a couple of other rooms outside of Sri Lanka as well. regular, like, you know, pop culture music shows and stuff. But Sri Lanka, what you asked me earlier about the culture, I think Philippines and Sri Lanka, I think the cultures are same. Sorry. So Sri Lanka is, you know, the culture is mixed with, you know, influences of Buddhism, and there is a certain version of Buddhism that it's sort of a religion that sort of covers all aspects of Sri Lankan culture. And I think it's the same in the Philippines, where we are sort of, things are built around the church, right? So it's in a way that's sort of the same. But what I felt was that there is this notion, sort of a, there's this idea that Sri Lankans are supposed to be, a typical Sri Lankan would go through this sort of process. That is always the defined process. Like, you study in school, you go and get a degree, then you go and find a, you get a good job, and then you build a house, you get a wife, you get, you know, you get married, and then that's it. There's nowhere they're talking about, what about the things you like to do? What about your passions? That is not encouraged in previously. That's one of the problems that I also saw when I was in Sri Lanka. But I now see people are sort of breaking that, you know, that rigid thing, and they're exploring, they're doing other stuff, they're exploring other, all this digital stuff and so many different things. So it's really good that there's a lot of open discussions about social problems, you know, influence of the culture, and also this, there is a lot of political corruption similar to Philippines in Sri Lanka. So they're, a lot of people are talking about it, against it. They're trying to do something about it. So I think what happened to me, especially, that once I started joining rooms and started honestly talking to people and made actually very good relationships in Clubhouse, like became friends with a lot of people, and and then they would, even in a serious matter, they would ask my opinion. They would invite me on stage and ask about it. And there were certain times the topics I wasn't something that I was really, you know, in depth. I didn't have in-depth knowledge about the topic, but I felt that maybe I should say what I feel and what I know. So that's how I think I build the audience, because a lot of people really started trusting what I was saying. And it felt that I wasn't really putting up an act. I was really just sharing my experience. I had a lot of experience, you know, doing a lot of different things and, you know, working in IT and all this, about opinions about career, about how to build your career, about technology, religion and spirituality, because I've been, you know, sort of always been following that, and music, of course. And so I think that's how I kind of build the audience, and it keeps on growing. And I really enjoy doing Clubhouse, because I really meet different people with different opinions, which actually sometimes I wasn't really aware about that sort of aspect of that thing. And I think Clubhouse has also changed me a little bit on certain, maybe certain areas. I think it probably changed my mind as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, I guess, having, you know, someone brave enough to start conversations like this. And actually, like, it's not even putting most of, like, you know, putting, let's say, expressing, it's more of an expression of your beliefs and your values. And say it's a buffet, like, take what you need, maybe, if you ever need one, and see what sticks, see what resonates, and maybe I'll walk away with that. And then the rest that, you know, doesn't resonate or I don't maybe agree with, I'll leave it at the door. And it's, you know, it could be that simple. And I guess there's a lot of divide, I would say, for the past couple months with humanity and all the other, you know, issues. It's a rabbit hole, but I guess, like, we tend to lose that sense of community and love and respect to each other, that it's okay to, you know, we can agree to disagree. We can have different opinions and still be, you know, engaged with other conversations that's not, you know, on the realm of these things. And I guess, like, it takes so much courage to, you know, start conversations that are maybe, you know, on the spectrum of a touchy topic. But really, that's how each of us will grow, to, you know, question your beliefs, and then maybe, you know, I will express why I feel this way or why I believe this way. And even if you have a different, you know, value system or beliefs, I mean, all the more that it's just a weaving of the, I don't know, like, of life. And it just goes to, like, you know, a bigger picture of, you know, your soul expression. I mean, if that's how you see it, and so be it. I mean, it's amazing to, you know, just witness people be in their, really be in their expression of who they are, without, you know, thinking about, oh, like, she will say this or they will think this way, so I'm not gonna, you know, put myself out there more. But I realized that, you know, if you just give yourself a chance to show up in the way that you want to show up, no matter how small or big the audience is, and just be the way that, like, be in the embodiment of the vision that you want to be or you are working towards, oh my god, like, there are so, you will meet so many people, you will, I don't know, it's such a big exhale, and it's such a big, like, coming up for air, even, like, that feeling. And I'm not saying that I've been there, done that, no, I'm learning it, like, I'm learning it even more now, I would say. And I would always, you know, be thankful for the internet and, you know, the realms of this digital space to actually connect with so many cool people that I haven't met in person but have connected so much through this, like through conversations, through DMs, through Clubhouse and all the things. So that's the, you know, if there's one thing that that's like a takeaway for the past couple months, is be in the full expression of yourself and let life surprise you. I swear to God. there's so much magic and gems on the in-between. So, okay, we're gonna go off to a different, this whole other topic. But
I think we should do an episode about that. But, you know, this strategy that I started doing when I go into this sort of, especially when it's a very heated sort of conversation, or maybe a point where there's a lot of different opinions about something, I go into that room thinking that all the opinions are right.
Wow.
Yeah. So I would go there. I wouldn't judge it. I would go there that every person's opinion is right based on their context, based on their situation. And because I think we probably experience this in life, right? Sometimes certain things we say it's good, it's not good, or it's bad, but in certain situations we think that's okay, or that should happen. So I don't go in a way that this is what the right opinion it should be, that people should say this one, but I go in a more of like all the opinions are right, and then I would listen to them. And I would try to learn something, actually, the perspective of, because I think that bias that we are trying to always have, like we are right. And I think that's what I think kills the conversation, right? So I think we need to, and I think you know this, Meg, that I always advocate that kindness we should be kind more than we are right.
Wow.
Right. So that's always the way we communicate. I know we can actually talk about a lot of things, but I would like to invite Ivy and Dane if they want to come on stage, and if something resonated with them, what we shared, if you want to come on stage and share, you can come on stage. Ivy, Dane.
And Chana, please come on stage. I already sent an invite to you both. Oh my God, Ivy, thanks for sticking around, not just here, but also on our In Silence Clubhouse rooms. I mean, wow, an honor always. So if you guys feel like there's something you wanna say or comment on, or just, you know, questions, more questions, you welcome that. And we have, while we wait, we have a bunch of sana scheduled rooms for every Friday of the week. That's the same time. So if you guys want to catch the recording live, we will be here every Friday, 9 a.m.
Yeah, and you can be a part of the recording. So because this will be, this is recorded, and yep, we are putting it in Spotify, Apple, and all the other streaming platforms. And next week onwards, we will also start having other guests will be joining us on this podcast. A lot of people from the spirituality areas and music. So we are supposed to have a few more guests on the podcast. Meg, I think I left the last question to the end. So tell me about the main concert.
how do I say it in a way that just say, 4 minutes?
Just describe it in one sentence.
Oh my God. Here it goes. Spiritual. No, it was an ethereal, I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, experience. Oh my gosh, I will dive deep into this maybe in another episode, but I would say that this band just I got to witness myself grow with this band. So every time I attend a concert, it's such a different me. Like it's a different age, a different situation, a different, set of things happening on the background while I'm, witnessing the show. So it's such a time stamp. Like I would say, like concerts with the main has always been like a have always been like a time stamp for the certain headspace that I'm going through. And I would always look back like how the first show went and how this went and how different I was back then and how these songs like hold such different meaning now. Like before it was ooh like summery American candy, yeah. And then there's this dark era of maybe Pioneer and Black, maybe the song of Black Butterflies and Deja Vu, and this come like with their record of the ending of Face Towards the Sun. Like holy moly, I feel like I've cried listening to that last song, and it's such a big ground up for me whenever I would see those guys and how much they haven't changed, but they also changed, and how like it's so fun and very nostalgic experience while experiencing the experience. So yeah, I initially just wanted to watch from the balcony. I booked a seat, I booked a ticket to just watch a show on balcony because maybe I've matured that way. But hello. When I got there were two opening bands that prior to the show, so technically they started at 11. The main started at around 11. So from 9:30 onwards, it was these two opening bands, and I was like, like they're pretty good. I was on the balcony, and then I saw that I realized that the ticket or like the band strap, the strap that I got to enter the venue, was the same strap that was given to everyone, so I could technically go down and find my way to the front area, which I did. I mean, I thought about it so hard. I was like, should I go down or should I just enjoy, like, a sort of a peaceful environment here? But the thing is, with concerts in LA, it's such a people are chill there. They're not gonna, be like squish you if you're by the front. Like there's still I guess a one person distance between you and the next person that you're beside with. Although there was a pit, there was like a bit going on in the middle, and it was wild, but overall, like it's a different experience. I ended up going down to the f to the to the open, what do you call that? Yeah, to the open part of the one near the stage, the pit. Yeah,
Right.
so yeah, different experience. I feel like I've lost my words with the lyrics. I don't remember some, which just shows like how old I am. But yeah, still left side center Kennedy side, of course. And yeah, it was a fun experience, and I'm surprised that the feedback that they had was after the show. They were like, oh, thanks LA for the spiritual experience. I was like, this is interesting. That's the first time that I hear them use that word. So it was a chill experience, but of course, like I feel like witnessing that in the Philippines would be just as mind-blowing or even more. So yeah, that's about it. I'll expound more on your pod.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I had this experience. I last time when Incubus was here, I actually missed the show in Manila, so I couldn't go to that. So last week, I watched the Incubus had a 30th anniversary of Morning View album. They played the whole album in a live stream. I think it was from LA also, and I'm so surprised that these guys, even John from Maine, right, and Brendan from this incubus.
Yes.
Why these guys don't age? Why they're like eternally young, right? Like,
I know. I feel like they age backwards. No, but really, I feel like when you love what you do, you will age backwards.
Because Morning View itself, the album itself is like 30 years old, right? So he should be like, what? It's already like close to 80 years old, but he's like still the same guy I remember when the album came out. It's
oh
like
my God.
So fit and so with a lot of energy, and you know. And I think you're right. I think probably the secret is about maybe the anti-aging solution is really to do what you love, right?
Yeah. Oh my God. And it's so just a huge thing that, not huge thing, like a small detail that I want to insert. Like during this, I think the start of the show, someone gave John like a dad cap or something. And I was like, oh my God, we're at this point where the lead singer is actually having, already has a family, and the baby is, I think it's a girl that's due on December. So, wow, I mean, congrats, John, if you're listening to this. You want to extend the congratulations. So, yeah, an anti-aging solution really is, maybe one is doing what you love. So, wow.
Yeah. I think it's a good place for us to end this episode. I think that's a good point. I think we should do another episode about that point itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to thank Ivy and Dane for patiently listening, and hope that what we, our rambling, all this what we were saying, maybe resonated with you, and hope you can follow our podcast, and hope you can join our club. It's almost a music podcast club. And follow us on, you know, our social media. We have connected our Instagram on Clubhouse profile. And Meg, it was really nice to catch up with you. And really, I think I mentioned that in the earlier, that there was a certain uncertainty, and I was thinking what's going to happen to this podcast. I think I don't have that anymore from this, after this conversation. So thank you for joining.
Oh my God. Thank you so much, Shanna. And thank you all for sticking around. It means a lot to actually stick around for an hour, because we would record these things and we would just have like, you know, one live listener. But, you know, seeing you guys here, I hope we were able to, you know, leave you guys with a thing or two to nibble on, to think about or not think about even. So yeah, thank you guys. We have we have our Instagram of Almost a Music Podcast. We will try to update that more often. We have a couple more guests, and if you guys have any suggestions of episodes, topics that you'd like us to discuss, or even if you want a guest here, I mean, come on, send them our way. Thank you guys. This will be up on Spotify in a couple of days and all the other platforms. So thank you, Channa. Of course, you're pushing through with the pod.
So Meg, have a great day ahead in Manila. Enjoy Manila.
Yep. Thank you. You as well. Thank you guys. Bye.
Bye.